take a look at something which is usually ignored. It's ignored because it's something that shows up really in three parashot. Parashat Shmot, which is so filled with big things, especially the snare, and of course the birth of Moshe and all that. It is something that makes its appearance in this week's parsha, which of course is totally overshadowed by the Aseret HaDibrot, justifiably. And it's something that makes its appearance in Parshat Pahalotcha, which, if you want the short list of all the amazing things in Pahalotcha, then we'd be here forever anyways. And that is the identity of the various people in Moshe's married in-law family. Our Parsha is called Parshat Yitro, and we're introduced to Yitro. Who is Yitro? But I'm going to tell you three different names and point out the difficulties in identifying who they are. One of them is Yitro, one of them is Chovav, and one of them is Reuel. Okay? And let's take a look first at the Psukim. When we first meet any of this family, it's when Moshe runs away to Midian and he encounters the girls who are shepherding, and they have problems, and we're introduced as follows. U'lechohen Midian shavavanot. Now, an important thing for us to do, always, when learning something that we work on here regularly, is to erase from our awareness or from what we think any preconceived notions. So that if we start out with an assumption that Kohen Midian has a particular name to him, we may get stuck and unable to see what's going on. So let's for right now just say all we know is there is a guy who is Kohen Midian. Parenthetically, what does Kohen Midian mean? What does the word Kohen mean? Priest. Priest, and what's the implication of him having that position?
Head of the tribe.
Head of the tribe, likely but not necessarily some religious functionary, but certainly a leadership position. Okay. U'lechohen Midian sheva banot. So he has seven daughters. By the way, what do we not hear about? Not hear about sons. There's two ways to read that. One way is that there are no sons. That's the simplest way. The other way to read it is that there may be sons, but they aren't central to this story because they're not going to be shepherding. Now, important to note that this reminds us of a story that we encountered in Sefer Bereishit, where there is our hero appears in a strange place and immediately encounters daughters or a daughter shepherding the flock, even though at some later point we do hear about sons. And that's in the case, of course, of Yaakov and Lavan. And when we find out in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, that there are B'nai Lavan, the easiest way to read it is they just weren't around or they were little tzutzikach at the time, so they couldn't shepherd the flock. The assumption is always that the boys are going to shepherd the flock unless they can't. All right. So now, U'lechohen Midian sheva banot, these girls go to fill up the pails in order to give water. Now, the male shepherds come and chase them away. This is Moshe continuing where we left off, however many years ago, stepping in for justice to save them. And gives them water for their flock. So these girls come to Reuel, their father, which means, the simplest read of it is, there is a Kohen Midian whose name is Reuel, and he's got seven daughters, and these daughters come to him, and that's the only name that we hear here. And he says, well, how did you get home so quickly? And they say, there's an Ish Mitzri saved us, because evidently they have these problems on a regular basis, and they usually had to wait for the end of the day to get their water, and suddenly today they're able to come home sooner. What happened today? My Yom Miyomayim. They said, an Ish Mitzri saved us. And so he says, where is he? Why did you leave him alone? Bring him in to eat food. Then Moshe comes and he stays with him and he marries Tzipporah, which means at this point, Moshe is married to Tzipporah, who is one of those daughters who was shepherding the flock, and Tzipporah is the daughter of Reuel. That's what we have. Okay. Now, if you take a look, and we're going to skip right now to passage 5, because I want to go actually in order of the text. We'll go in order of the way they presented it. In Parshat Pahalotcha, we are introduced to yet another member of this family. So far we know Reuel and a daughter named Tzipporah. In Bamidbar, Moshe comes up to a particular Chovav ben Reuel Hamidyani and has a conversation with him. And in the conversation he asks him to please, as we're leaving Har Sinai, please accompany us, be our eyes in the desert. And we'll see how the conversation plays out. Vayom Moshe l'Chovav ben Reuel Hamidyani chotein Moshe. Now, the critical words in this entire shiur are Chotein Moshe. What does Choten Moshe mean? So we typically think of it as father-in-law. But now that leaves us with a second question. Look at the pasuk and tell me who's the father-in-law. Vayomer Moshe lechovav Choten Moshe, who is Ben Ruel, or Vayomer Moshe lechovav Ben Ruel, who is Choten Moshe? See the problem.
What does the Torah usually do?
What?
When you use that modifier, or I don't know, if it's not part of it, whatever you call that thing.
Yeah, it can go either way. It can go either way.
No rules.
So we don't have indication as to who is Choten Moshe. To further complicate matters, whether Choten Moshe only could mean father-in-law is not so simple. But right now we're going to leave it alone and say, we don't know who this is. And if we were to read it the first way, that Chovav is Choten Moshe and Choten means father-in-law, that means we've got a little bit of a problem. Because who was identified earlier as his father-in-law?
Yitro.
Well, no, we haven't heard the name Yitro yet.
Ruel.
Ruel, right? And this is Chovav ben Ruel. So you end up with a mess.
So you're not at the Parshat Yitro yet, which starts twice.
We're going to go to that. But I'm going in order of the text the way I brought them.
What?
Unless Chovav is his son, in which case Choten Moshe is then modifying, how do you call it, Ruel and not Chovav, unless there's another possibility here. There is another possibility raised by some, and that is that Ruel is some sort of a title name, and that fathers and sons could all have that title name. So that Ruel is the father of Moshe's wife, and Ruel's father is also called Ruel. Right? Possibility. In any case, they have this conversation. We're going to come back to the conversation because the conversation actually is quite key to understanding who's who here. Later on, we find out that Chovav is the Choten Moshe, not Ruel. Where do we find that out? In Shoftim, in the Haftarah we read a few days ago, we hear the story of Yael. The setup for Yael is the Chever HaKeni, Chever, who is a Kenite, Nifrad Mikayin. He broke away. Kayin lives in northern Sinai. He went up into the Galil. And who are they? Mibnei Chovav Choten Moshe. Who are these Keni? These are the children of Chovav. Who's Chovav Choten Moshe? Which means now, back in Bamidbar, we have to say that Chovav is the Choten Moshe, not Ruel. But if Choten Moshe means father-in-law, that means who's Ruel?
Read it again, Galeni, and interpret it either way.
V'chevra keni nifrad mikayin. Here. All right. Mimnei Chovav Choten Moshe. Ruel's not mentioned in this pasuk. Chovav is called Choten Moshe. And if Choten means father-in-law, the way we use it today, then that means Chovav is Moshe's father-in-law. Which means Chovav is the guy who's the Kohen Midian back there, whose daughters were shepherding, etc., etc. Right? But that's a little bit difficult because that guy was called Ruel. And yet, here this Chovav ben Ruel. So there's a lot of confusion here as to who's who. Alright, so now we want to get to what Donnie brought up Yitro. And the reason we're doing it this week is Parshat Yitro. The first time we hear the name Yitro is in the beginning of Perek Gimel, which is the preface to the famous Nevuah at the Sneh. And it starts as follows. U'moshe, source 5. U'moshe haya ro'et son Yitro chotno kohen midyan. So Moshe is working as a shepherd for whom? Yitro. Who's Yitro? His choten, who we just said was Chovav, who we then thought was Ruel. And he's working for him, and who is he? He's Kohen Midyan. And Kohen Midyan, we heard earlier, was Ruel. So the confusion continues. Moshe is shepherding for him. He had the sheep, goes up the mountain, he goes to the mountain, he sees the bush, etc., etc. All right? When that's all over, Moshe wants to go to Mitzrayim. What does he do? Vayach Moshe vayashav al yeter chotno. Now we've got a fourth name. We've got Ruel, we got Chovav, we got Yitro, we got Yeter. Right? And he goes to Yeter and says, I'd like to go back to Egypt to see how they're doing it. He says, Lech l'shalom, and Vayomi Yitro l'Moshe Lech l'shalom. Well, this pasuk alone tells us something that should be fairly clear, that Yeter and Yitro are the same guy. All right, and we're going to see several examples of that phenomenon. So we say Yeter and Yitro are the same guy. That still leaves us in the dark about the other two characters, Chovav and Ruel. In our parasha, we are introduced over and over and over to Yitro, Choten Moshe, Kohen Midyan. We're introduced at the beginning, Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan Choten Moshe, and throughout he's called Choten Moshe. That's his begich as being Choten Moshe. So now, Yitro is Moshe's Choten. What does Yitro do in the beginning of this parsha? In the beginning, he arrives at Har Sinai bringing Tzipporah and the two kids to reunite with Moshe. And then Yitro stays there after the festive meal, and he sees the way that Moshe is doing a solo act of judging, and he gives the famous advice. Important, take a look at Pasuk Chav Zayin at the bottom of Source 7. At the end of this whole advice, Vayishalach Moshe Tchotano Vayelech Lo El Artzo. Moshe then sends off, and it sounds like sends off kind of ceremoniously, Chotno, and he goes back to his land. There is no discussion here about please stay with us, join us, ally with us. No, it's okay, thanks, you came, you gave advice, and now we're going to properly see you off, and he goes back.
Can I ask a question?
Right, which, hold on one second, which then you contrast it with the conversation in Source 2 in Bamidbar, where Moshe is talking to Chovav, and Moshe pleads with him to stay with them, and Chovav says, no, I won't. And now let's look back at that conversation. Jason, what's your question?
That whole Shema Yudchet, did that happen before?
Ooh, you opened up the big door. Take a look at the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban at the beginning of Yitro, and you'll see how difficult it is. The whole discussion of Ein Mukta Mukhar BaTorah begins here.
Really? Because when I was giving my thing on Sunday, I looked at it and I said, you know what? It didn't happen here.
Okay, the Ibn Ezra says that. You're on good ground, right? On the other hand, the Ramban will dispute you. Part of the problem here is really that Yitro is giving advice about how to judge. And what kind of judging is going to go on before Matan Torah is the real problem. What kind of laws are they asking about? But the Ramban has his answers, and the Ramban here is quite klaich. Right? And the man, and the water. There's a lot of things to deal with.
Well, also the last two sentences where it says this is what they did. That
what?
Like
what do you mean?
V'shavtu et ha'am v'kol eit et ha'davar kashav. It sounds like
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean anything. That statement could have been written for 40 years, just like at the end of the month. But that doesn't mean that Yitro's arrival was then.
Right.
Let's not confuse the two. There's when an event happens and when it's written down.
Right.
The man fell on the starting on the 15th or the 16th of Iyar. Right? But the man story was written down in its final version after we got to Canaan because it says they ate it for 40 years. Right? In the same way, the question of when Yitro arrived is divorced from the question of when was this statement written, this whole story written down in the final form. It tells us that they indeed followed his advice. It could have been later. But Moshe sends Chotno and he goes off to his land, etc. Okay. I'd like to bring in something which really belongs to Parsha Balotcha, but we're not going to do it then. And we're on the topic now and I'd like to touch on it. And that is the very famous or bizarre conversation taking place between Miriam and Aharon about Moshe that leads to Tzaraat and leads to Hashem's famous statement about the difference between all Nevi'im and Moshe. And that's at the bottom of the page. And the reason it's odd is because the entire interaction between Hashem and Miriam and Aharon seems to be focused on Miriam's second words, which is, Harak'ach Moshe diber Adonai elo gam banu diber. Is Moshe the only Navi? We're also Nevi'im, essentially saying we're the same. And Hashem's response is, no, you're not. But the opening line, which is the big mystery, is ignored in that interaction, or so we think. And what is it? What's that about? So, of course, famously, the Rishonim are divided, the Midrashim are divided. Is Kushit a reference to Tzipporah? And their conversation is, and that ties in with the next thing, the Rashi's Mahalach here, is that Eldad and Medad are having Nevuah in the previous Parsha, and the Tzipporah stands and says, oh yeah, I feel terrible for their wives, they'll never be intimate with their wives again, their wives are going to be like an aguna. So what? Miriam and Aaron turn around and say, what do you mean? She says, well, since Moshe got Nevuah, he hasn't been with me. And Miriam says, Mapitom, I have a married life, Aaron has a married life, and that leads to the complaint, so that's the connection between the two statements. They're complaining about Tzipporah because that's affecting Moshe thinking he's a better Navi than we are, which he is. The other possibility is that very famous Midrashic direction, which is that Moshe, during the intervening years, went off to Cush, and he became a warlord, and he married a Cushite, and he abandoned her, in which case you got to wonder, what's this conversation doing here? So there may indeed be a connection reading it that way. And by the way, the problem with calling Tzipporah Kushit is that she's not. She's a Midianit, which is a whole different people. They're Semites and not Hamites. I mean, it's kind of strange. What?
The repetitive that's the way.
Yeah, okay. That's the problem. No matter what, how you interpret kushit, the fact that it repeats kisha kushit lakach. So I'd like to perhaps make a suggestion as to what that issue is about as well. But I want to start with the following premise. If you take a look at source 18 and source 19 and source 20 and source 21 and source 22, the second half of page 2, you will see Rashi following Midrashei Halacha and Midrashei Agadah, maintaining that all of these people are the same person. Yeter Yitro, that's easy. Chovav, Ruel are all the same person. And who are they? They're from Moshe's father-in-law. And then we explain, what's his real name? His real name is Chovav. And he's called Yitro because he added a parsha to the Torah. What's his real name? His real name is Ruel. And he's called Chovav because he loved the Torah. In other words, each one of the names is darshaned to be a nickname given to him because of some attribute. And his real name is one of those, or perhaps his real name is none of those. And by the way, fascinatingly, we only mentioned four of the names, two of which are linked. Take a look at source 18. Rashi quotes the Midrash. It says he has seven names, Ruel, Yeter Yitro, and Chovav, but also Chever, which is very strange, because that suddenly has him being Yael's husband, hundreds of years later. Putiel is the famous Midrash that that Elazar married Mibnot Putiel, and Chachamim say that was a daughter who was descended both from Yosef, Shepitpit B'Yitro, and Yitro, Shepitem Agalim Lavodah Zarah. But how that connects is very difficult. And Keni, that Yitro is also called Keni, which is odd because the Keni are the tribe that later comes from Midian, but not a personal name. So it's a very difficult Midrash. And you see that it's based on the Midrash in Midrash Tanhuma, and it shows up also in the Psikta. And an interesting thing, which we have in both in the Psikta, but also even the Sifri says it, and it's a very strange comment. It says, well, wait a second, how can Ruel be Chovav when the Torah identifies him as Chovav ben Ruel? So one theory that gets proposed is that Ruel is like a title name, so that the father has it, the son, it's the name of the Kohen Midian, like Avimelech or Paro. The other possibility that's suggested here is that he doesn't have seven names, he has three names. Right? Chovav, Yitro, and Yeter. And that Ruel is the father. Who is he? That makes him, Tzipora's, grandfather. Right? And the famous Rashi quote, you see it in our Parsha, Shatinokot korin la'avi avihen abba. And you guess it from the Sifri. That girls are comfortable calling their grandfather Abba. Whether that's true or not really doesn't sing to this issue. Because, think about it, the text is not quoting the girls as saying Abba, and saying, wait a second, that's the grandfather. Oh, girls call the grandfather Abba. The text is calling him Avihem. That's not the same. In other words, you might call somebody bro, because you're friendly with him. But for the text to identify him as your brother is a different story. That's already a sibling relationship. That may be a bad example, because the way that Ach is used, but the fact that you're comfortable using a familiar term doesn't mean that it's legally so. When I was a kid, we had a few close family friends who were uncle and aunt. We had no blood relation with them. They were uncle and aunt. Probably many of you had that also. And, you know, in Israel, Hagid Shalom Ladod. Fine, you might be comfortable calling him uncle this and uncle that. But we're not going to write in a book that was his uncle. And by the way, his wife is an usher to you if he passes away as an erva. Family friend. So the fact that girls are comfortable calling their grandfather Abba doesn't help in the pasuk. It's difficult. So I want to start with the following premise. And it's a premise that we've talked about when we talk about Midrashei Esther, but also in other contexts. The Torah knows people's names. The Tanakh knows people's names. And the Tanakh is very clear on telling us when two different names are the same person. The crystal example is the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim at the beginning. Avram, who Avraham? I mean, you have nothing better than that. Guess what? When you hear about Avram, you hear about Avraham, same guy. Right? Another example in Bereishit. Ve'ele toldot Esav, who Edom? That word who is an identifier, equal sign. Right? And then we have cases where Hashem changes a name and we're told, your name is A, now your name is B. Right? And the classic case, of course, is Yaakov and Yisrael. Right? We have it with Paro changing Yosef's name to Safnat Paneach. We have it in the Parsha of the Meraglim, with Moshe changing Hoshea's name to Yoshua. We have it when the people start calling Gidon Yerubaal because of his battle against the Baal, Yerubaal, Yerubohabaal, right? So we have lots of places, and of course the most famous one probably is Hadassah Esther, where the text tells you she's got a Jewish name, she's got a Goyish name, Hadassah Esther. So don't get confused when you read about Esther. She's a Jewish girl, her real name's Hadassah, right? We also have times, and we have lots of examples of this, but just to save space, brought one, and that is where the text will tell us clearly that two variations of a name are the same name. The variations are the same name. For instance, Yehonatan and Yonatan. Easy example. Okay? You have, as an example, Yehoyachin and Yehonyah. Same guy. You have, as an example, Uzziyahu and Azariah. Same guy. Now, sometimes it's obvious, and sometimes you have to see them mentioned doing the same thing to figure out they're the same person or in the same flow of a royal narrative, but it's the same person. The fact that a person has a nickname, Robert and Bob, you're not a Bob, but a lot of Roberts are Bobs, right? Or Mordechai and Moti, right? There's a classic versions, and we wouldn't think, oh, it's a different person because it's got a different name. That's a nickname. Yonatan and Yonatan are two versions. So we talk about Yitro and Yeter, that's an easy one. That's no brainer, and the Pasuk says it. He goes to Yeter and says, can I leave? And Yitro says, go ahead. Well, that's some other guy. It's him. But on the other hand, to say that Chovav and Ruel and Yitro are the same person is very difficult. Why wouldn't the text just say Yitro, Yitro, Yitro? Or else, if it wanted to tell us that he had a title name, Ruel, to say Ruel, who Yitro? Right? Or Chovav, who Yitro? Tell us that, and then we'll know who it is. Very strange. So I'd like to pose the following. Take a look at source 3 on the first page. It's indented. And it's a comment of the Ibn Ezra, which really opens up all the doors here. The Ibn Ezra makes the following comment, and it's substantiated in Tanakh, that the word choten is not exclusively a father-in-law. He says as follows, Derech ha-mikra likro aviha na'ra ve'achiha choten. In other words, any male with whom you're related through marriage is a choten. Could be a father-in-law, could be a brother-in-law. Now, it's not a son-in-law that we have another name for, it's just chatan. But choten can be also a brother-in-law. Now, let's go back and look at the psukim, and everything is going to be yashar. It'll be very, very straight and very easy to see. Start with this. One other piece that we got to plug in is an issue of context and time. When did Moshe run away from Mitzrayim? How old was he? Yeah, so the Ramban says 20. The Midrash says either younger than that or 20 or like 40. But the sense of the Pasuk is that he's relatively young. This is like his first time out, and he goes out, and he's old enough to take a stand and to kill the Egyptian, but he's still young enough to be a little impetuous, if you will. And he runs away. It doesn't seem like a whole lot of time passes until he gets to Midian. So he gets to Midian, and who's there? There's seven girls, and their father is Reuel. Why are the seven girls doing the shepherding, or why are the girls doing the shepherding? Because evidently there's no boys in the family, or the boys aren't old enough, just like we have with Lavan. Okay. Who's the father? The father's name is Reuel. And what's his position? He's Kohen Midian. Since he's Kohen Midian, first of all, he's not going to be shepherding. He's also the pater familias, is the head of the clan. So he's not shepherding. They're all shepherding. Moshe kept steps in, and Reuel says to them, bring him home. And he has Moshe marry the daughter, Tzipporah. And Moshe marries. They have a kid. And Moshe goes to work. For whom? Who does he work for? He never works for Reuel. Who does he work for? Yitro. Yitro Chotno. Now take the Ibn Ezra and tell me who Yitro is. Yitro is his brother-in-law. Meaning, why is Yitro then Kohen Midian? Because Reuel died. And Yitro is now Kohen Midian. Why isn't Yitro shepherding? Because he's Kohen Midian. So Moshe's working for his brother-in-law. And therefore, he's shepherding the flock. And therefore, when he wants to leave, he has to go and ask permission from Yitro because he's working for him. He says, can I go back and see my brothers? Yitro says, go ahead, lech l'shalom. He goes. Very nice. What happens on the Gerat Mitzrayim, which is however long it is, whether Moshe was in Mitzrayim a year or several years or even a decade, it's unclear how long he was there before the actual Yitzhak started kicking in. We had several failed attempts, but Israel were listening to him. Paul was listening to him. He worked on harder.
He sort of told that he's 80 years old at the time.
He's 80 years old.
That his brother's 83.
When Hashem speaks to him before starting the real advanced level of Yitzhak. But it could be that there's a period there. We don't know how old he is at the snap. That's the point. So therefore, we don't know how old he is when he first gets to Mitzrayim. We know that he's 80 and 80, and Aaron's 83 when they approach Paro on that next round that leads to Yitzhak Mitzrayim. That we know. And plus we know Moshe's...
There's no mention of any prior round.
What?
There's no mention of any prior round. Why would
we... Right, no, that's fine. For me, that's part. That's fine. Moshe's, therefore, in Midian for a long time.
How long is the period of 10 plagues?
Well, we don't know. The Midrash says it's a year. But the simple read of the text is unclear because it looks like Barad takes place right before Pesach. So that those last four seem to be very quick because of the agricultural mention of the Chitan Sorah. It's unclear. But what you have here is Moshe working for his brother-in-law, and his brother-in-law is Kohen Midian, and Moshe then leaves and goes to Mitzrayim, leaving his wife and two kids, one of whom was younger maybe, back in Midian. Goes to Mitzrayim, does what he does, brings Bnei Israel out, comes to Har Sinai, and now Yitro, his brother-in-law, Chotein Moshe, Kohen Midian, shows up with his sister, Zipporah, and her kids to bring them back, reunite them with Moshe. Yitro takes a look at what Moshe's doing, and by the way, a big festive meal, because look who's here, it's Moshe, and Aaron, and Yitro, and yeah, it's very big. Yitro takes a look at what Moshe is doing. Yitro knows leadership because Yitro has been a leader of Midian for a while now, and he understands leadership, and you're not doing a good job. You're doing a solo job, which is what you used to do with the Nisim, but when it comes to judgment, you need to establish a situation, a hierarchy, and a judiciary, which is reasonable in its workload. And so he gives that advice. What happens next? Moshe then says, thank you very much, and sends him home. There's no possibility that Yitro could stay with them because he's Kohen Midian. He can't just ditch his people. He's got to go back and leave them. Okay.
But didn't he convert at that point?
We have no record of that at all, or no record of him connecting at all. Oh, good, so let's take a look. Who else is in the family who we didn't hear about till now? There's another brother. And what's that brother's name? Chovav. And now, who's Chovav? Chovav ben Reuel, Chotein Moshe. He's Moshe's brother-in-law. That's fine. Chovav is evidently younger, so he wasn't around to shepherd at the time. What does Moshe ask Chovav that he never thought to ask Yitro? Look at source 2. Come with us and be our eyes in the desert. Why? Because you know the desert. And I can ask you. You're not a Kohen Midian. You can leave your people and join us. A phenomenal thing happens. Chovav says to him, Lo ki'im alat siva mo'alati alech. I'm going back to my home. What does Moshe say? Please don't leave us. You will be our, listen carefully to the words, our eyes in the desert. What happens next? The text is, to quote Rabbi Bezdin, Olav HaShalom, deliciously ambiguous. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't say that Yehovah says, okay, I'll come. It doesn't say Yehovah says, forget about it. It doesn't say Yehovah goes back or Yehovah joins. It doesn't say. Which leaves us waiting all the way until the beginning. Which is?
That he stayed.
No, this is Moshe still saying, all of that good stuff we'll share with you. But we don't hear Chovav's response. That's his sale pitch. We're going to have a lot of good stuff. Please join us. And all that good stuff will come to you. But we don't hear Chovav's reaction. And we don't know Chovav's reaction until we open up Sefer Shoftim. And at Sefer Shoftim, at the very beginning, we hear that Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Shimon took along the Bnei Keni to join them in their war. And then famously in Sefer Shoftim, in Perek Dalet, we hear that there's some of the Keni who are Bnei Chovav, Chotein Moshe, separated from the regular group that was in North Sinai and went up into the Galil, and that's Yael, that whole story. Which means that Chovav, in the end, did come. But what happened here? So why doesn't Chovav want to go with them? So make the following suggestion. Chovav has upsetness with Moshe. Why? Because Moshe married another woman. doesn't want to come with him. What happens after Chovav says no? Miriam and Aaron start getting upset and say, look, Moshe married a Kushit, and as a result of that, what happened? He's not with us, and as a result of that, we're stuck in the desert without eyes. Isn't Moshe just like the rest of us? We don't know our way around the desert. What does Hashem answer? Moshe has eyes you don't have. Moshe utmanat Hashem yabid. He doesn't need Chovav. That's the tie-in with the Kushit and the Moshe being the same. Moshe made some Kushit, and Chovav is upset on behalf of the family that, you know, he took this other wife and he's ignoring Tzipora. And Miriam and Aaron get upset because as a result of your actions, Moshe, we're deprived of Chovav's navigating abilities in the desert. And Hashem's answer to them is, you don't, Moshe doesn't need that. It's not like you. Moshe's got eyes everywhere. So not Hashem yabit.
Which part of the narrative does he pick up the wife?
It's left out. However you slice it, the Kushit's a difficulty. If the Kushit is a reference to Tzipora, it's very difficult because,
I
first of all, what... maybe, because that's because Spielberg painted her dark. But I'm not sure that, you know, she's a Midianite. Plus, Cush is a descendant of Ham. And Midian is a descendant of Shem. So it's a little bit of a difficulty. It's a big difficulty.
And so there's no issue of having the multiple wives.
No, not multiple wives. The problem is, either, according to the Midrash, he married a Cushite and abandoned her. That's bad. Or according to the Mahalach in the Midrash that Rashi adopts, the Kushit is Tzipora and Moshe is now celibate and is now avoiding her.
Right.
One way or another, it's some woman has been
Chovav's
wrong.
Opinion,
right?
And what is Chovav's opinion?
And so another way to look at it is that Moshe married another woman, a Kushit, and as a result of that...
Or after Tzipora.
After Tzipora, right. And that Tzipora is now not the only wife, and he's upset about that, you know.
Right.
Like,
so they're both there. That's what I'm saying.
Right, and he's upset about it. Either way, even if you don't buy that, which is, I agree, is a little bit of a tenuous theory, nonetheless, we can now look at the text, and again, with a little bit of help of the Ibn Ezra pointing out that the word chotein can work both ways, as father-in-law and brother-in-law, suddenly everything works out half like a fella. It falls into place. Reuel is the father of this family. He's the Kohen Midian. When we first meet him, he's the Kohen Midian. There are seven daughters, one of whom is Tzipora. We don't know where she is in birth order. And there's also Yitro, who may or may not be alive, Chovav, who may or may not be alive at the time. The younger. At time passes. Reuel dies.
Wait, there's a problem with prior statement. The reason the girls are out tending the flocks is they don't have brothers.
Right.
So you're suggesting one of the brothers are seven girls born, and then the two boys are born thereafter.
Right. Either they're born thereafter, or they're too young, or one of them might be the Kohen in training. And maybe, you know, that's part of what you do. Right. So either way, when Reuel dies, Yitro takes over as Kohen Midian. Therefore, Yitro is in great position to give advice about a judiciary, but is in no position to leave them. Chovav, in the meantime, is a great navigator who Moshe addresses, and in the end, Chovav's people do join. And they become central to one of the famous military victories that we have against Sisra.
And it could also make sense to the younger to send him to be the lookout guy.
Right. That Chovav would be like the, exactly, yeah, to go out and see what's happening to the family.
Not necessarily to fight or guard or work or whatever.
But he's the spy guy, exactly. That's who Chovav would be. And therefore, we are on uncomfortable ground with the fact, again, that the Torah knows how to identify people by their name, and to tell us when two people are the same person. Now, when you have certain midrashim, and again, we encountered it in the context of Megillah because of Mulchan Zehaman, and we encounter it in the case of Bereshit with Keturah Zuhagar, and other identifiers that connect two different people as being the same, consistently what Chazal seemed to be doing in those cases is to say, of course they're different people. The Torah uses different names for them. But what we're trying to teach you is whatever you may know about one will help inform you about the other. We talked about this in the context of Megillat Esther, that if you want to really understand Haman's ability to manipulate the king, take a look at the story of Memuchan. The few lines about Memuchan really help see that. So Memuchan Zeh Haman is not a state of identity, but rather of common characteristics and talents.
So why write in this whole circuitous way with all these